You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
The Clement Maniatela Show.
Let's walk the talk.
I want us to focus on the ANC in this hour, the road to the party's 2022 elective conference. Who are the potential contenders for the top six positions? With the year starting off with public spirits, what more can we expect? And what kind of a leader do you think the ANC needs in this moment it finds itself? I have political journalists who are going to help us chart the way to the December conference. You know, the road to the ANC elective conference is always muddy. The political tussles are already in full swing. And I want you to weigh in on this discussion. You can give us a call on 011-883-0702. The SMS line is 31702. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. Let me introduce you to my guest. Sibonga Konke Shoba is the political editor at the Sunday Times. Thanks for making time, Shoba. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement, and good morning to your listeners, and thank you for inviting me.
And we have Tsidi Madia, who is a political journalist with EWN. Tsidi, thank you so much for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clem. Good morning, Shoba and Q, and all the listeners. Good morning.
And by Q, Tsidi is referring to Kanita Hunter, who is the political editor at News 24. Kanita, thank you for also making time.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Shoba, I want us to start off with the tricks that are possibly being played, and we'll look at the other positions that are being contested. I mean, we are where we are, and the ANC, in fact, is where it is now because the deputy president, David Mabuza, decided to play some tricks. Do we know if he's working on something ahead of December? Because he's been silent, and I think even his supporters are not saying much about what game he's playing.
Yes, Clement. David Mabuza has always played his cards very close to his chest, and he's doing the same this time around. And in Nazareth, we shocked all of us because we thought that he was supporting a particular slate, and then we know how things turned out at the end of the day. Mm. And this time around, he's been very silent. His close associates don't want to say much about his plans and what he may do. But there's also a rumor around his health. We know it had health issues. He had to fly to Russia to seek medical attention. Mm. But no one really wants to speak out within his grouping about what is his plan, yeah. What does he plan to do, is he standing for any position in the coming conference.
Yeah, well, let's ask the First Lady, because she probably knows something, Tsidi. Tsidi, as the First Lady, do you know anything? Can we expect some big surprises?
Well, you do remember in the lead up to the local government elections, he kind of said he's available and he's ready. But that was particularly a message to someone in the ANC. I don't believe that he meant that. I don't believe he meant that, look, I'm ready to come back for a second round. If you speak to inner circles of the ANC, they speak about how tired it is. At some point, they said that he kind of wanted to support seeing the Treasurer General of the ANC come up as the Deputy President. Some people thought he wants to go back to the farm. And also, he misses a little bit of that life where he was pretty much the don of Mpumalanga. I do think that for ANC leaders, or any leaders really, when you move from a provincial level to a national level, it's a whole different ballgame. And at some level, it's a little bit harder to maneuver and to manage. We've seen that with the ANC Secretary General, I think, has been on the back foot quite a lot with the difficulty from moving from being a lifetime chair to now having to almost play with the big boys, if you want to use that horrible phrase.
Yeah.
But I think it has been a little bit difficult. And I think, as Shoba pointed out, his health has been an issue. We've seen him go in and out of the country, being unable to do the job. He is really difficult to pin down. And I say this as the First Lady.
Yeah.
My husband is really difficult. The Deputy President is a very difficult character to pin down. And I think public life and the demands of the job that he's taking on is too much for him. He has said that actually in the past to me that actually, he doesn't prefer this. He doesn't like the limelight. It's too much for him.
But he loves power. And Kanita, I wonder if he still has that influence on the ground. We remember the so-called Premier League, the Free State, the Northwest, and the Mpumalanga, which was a blog that was really planning to determine which way that conference should go. But we know about some of the powerful ANC provinces like KwaZulu-Natal, the Eastern Cape, and Limpopo amongst the strongest. Does he still hold and have influence on the ground?
Yeah, you see, that's a difficult thing in terms of look at regional and provincial dynamics in relation to the national picture of the ANC, particularly because this time around you have such weak structures and weak provincial structures of the ANC. The Free State is the interim. Mpumalanga has not been able to replace DD in these 5 years that has passed. And so obviously now the ANC is trying to push to have provincial and regional conferences soon, within the next 2 months. And so that would obviously play a role in what happens in the national picture. Mm. The reality of it is Didi Mabuza does not have that power block that he used to have. And Mpumalanga that doesn't have that inflated numbers it had in the last conference, and that obviously played a very, very important role that time in them being the sort of unity card or whatever it was at the time. And so it's important to not look at the big picture of December without looking at hurdles along the way.
Yeah. I want us to look at provinces now, Shoba. I read your piece in the Sunday Times a week ago, where you look at the influence and the power play happening or about to happen at these provincial conferences. What are the provinces that we should be watching, which may have some influence and help us and help determine what may be the outcome of this conference in December?
It is always the big ones, Clement. We need to look at KwaZulu-Natal. It's going to be a very important province to look at. We need to look at Limpopo, which is has surprised us in the past few weeks. And we need to look at the Eastern Cape and Gauteng. Those are the provinces that really bring the numbers, but also would sort of like give us direction on what is going to happen. In the meantime, Clement, it's very difficult to say which direction some of these provinces are going to take. Take KwaZulu-Natal for an example. It's very difficult to tell which direction KwaZulu-Natal is going to take. If someone there decides that maybe we need to there needs to be some kind of a contest for the top position. And then although the Zuma grouping, which may be opposed to Ramaphosa, is very loud and is the one that is expected that something may come up but they're not taking that decision, Clement. And if you talk to people, they're saying there is not much appetite to go for the president position, and people, the discussions now are around the deputy president and the other top officials, and especially in KwaZulu-Natal. If you remember, Clement, they were the biggest losers in Nagra.
Yes,
KwaZulu-Natal to have a top six leader elected in Nagra. So after Nazareth, there was some introspection, and they felt that maybe they dropped it all. Maybe they should have voted for whoever was from their provinces to be there. So now the talk is about getting a KwaZulu-Natal leader in the top six. Whether that leader is become president or deputy president, but those are the discussions that are taking place, and we just need to sit back and just watch these things unfold. Provinces like Limpopo, The chairman has already pronounced. We know that this is the provincial secretary came back and contradicted him, but we know that the provincial secretary is linked to the campaign support the president. In the Northern Cape, the PEC seems to be supporting President Ramaphosa, and in Gauteng, I can say now that they might take a similar position. In the Eastern Cape, the regions that I have said so far, Clement, have pronounced that they will support Cyril Ramaphosa for a second term. And in all these provinces, the discussions really are about who else should go there, who's supposed to be deputy president, who's supposed to be secretary general.
And Siri, there seems like there is no agreement on who the provinces must be pushing for. In KwaZulu-Natal, as Shoba says, there are discussions around what do you put in Zweli Mkhize. Do you try and put up Senzo Mkhunu as someone who hails from that province in Limpopo, even though you've got the chairperson having pronounced on who they're pushing for? He is being contradicted by the secretary general. Is there a sense that the provinces are still even themselves trying to decide who, as the bloc, we are going to be pushing for?
You know what, Kamsa, I want to quickly go back to something Shaba mentioned. Shaba spoke about the impact of 2017 on KwaZulu-Natal. And Shaba, I don't know if you see the same thing, but I don't see, I've never seen ANC KZN recover. I'm still struggling to see how they've managed to try and at least recover. I don't know why. They feel still very much rattled by what happened in 2017. And of course, the July unrest last year, it feels like a scattered province. So it'll be interesting to see how it comes together again. I'm actually quite fascinated by what Shaba was saying. In terms of who will come out of the bloc, yes, Clement, when you think about Stella Tabata endorsing, Chair of Limpopo endorsing the president of the ANC, and then somebody who was aligned to the CR17 people, supposedly, as Soviet Lekhanyane, the secretary, coming out and distancing himself from there. That in itself speaks to the provincial dynamics. So what happens is you'll have the national conflict, but you'll have provincial and regional conflicts as well. Everywhere you go, at every level of every structure, sometimes you find people who are on polar ends at the national level are working together at a province and fighting it at a regional level. So in this particular case, that for me spoke to Limpopo politics more than anything else, because Limpopo does believe that Ramaphosa must return. In fact, there's a school of thought, Trevor mentioned a lack of appetite. There is a school of thought that you need some level of stability and that the ANC needs to start thinking about the future. And what the future battle is for most in the party is a deeply post who will steer the party forward, because they've already set a trend that the deputy president is likely to follow the president, right? So that precedent has been set. So the big question is, who takes that role? And then you need somebody secure to also take the SG role. So from where I stand, then, whatever's happening in the provinces, whether they come out of blocks or not, the big focuses are the DP post and the SG post. Provinces that I think are likely to come out whole and united in names, I think Limpopo will. You must never underestimate the role of the suspended treasurer of Limpopo, Denim Caesar, and how powerful he is in those regions, and the leaders that came out of those regions. You must never underestimate Babalwa Madikizela in the Eastern Cape and what he's been able to do when you look at the regional conferences that have played out. So Eastern Cape and Limpopo, I think, will emerge with whole numbers. I'm not sure about what's happening in Gauteng. Gauteng feels deeply, deeply fractured. They don't know whether they're coming or going either, from where I stand. They spoke about trying to create a politically enabling environment to have a conference, but that was also scuppered. Those plans were scuppered by the acting secretary general, Paul Mashatile, who said, you can't have a conference after July. It will be gone to policy. You must move it forward. So the perfect environment that Gauteng wants to create in order for them to find themselves, they're not going to have time for. I can't speak about the state of the Northwest, the Free State, Mpumalanga, and I think you want to talk about Northern Cape, but there's some more places because of the region, so they want to discount it. So it's very tricky in terms of what's happening. But I do think provinces like Limpopo and Eastern Cape, and possibly maybe Northern Cape, will produce a bloc that will give a particular name of slate.
Yeah, so Kanita, what I'm picking up then is there's no quote-unquote safe province really for the CR17. You can weigh in on that, and I want you to, if you can, please touch on the role of leagues within the ANC. So the ANC Women's League, the ANC Youth League. I haven't seen much of them coming out to even subtly endorsing anyone. What is it that we can expect? Have they started talking inside those organizations?
Okay, so I think that the way we the prism through which we look at this elective race needs to be a little different, in the sense that, you know, CR17 and RET, as we knew it, is not the case, and people who were aligned differently before, it's not going to find the same expression. You're also realizing now that that the issue around a second term for the president is sort of like solidified among, you know, people who you know, have the sort of you know, political power brokers in the ANC. Like, okay, that's that. If anyone contests him, it's not going to sort of result in too much of a, you know, of a fight. But the fight remains at the bottom, even intra-factional fights, if that makes sense, right? Mm. Because what is happening now is that you need to have this upward churn, because they are provincial leaders that have to leave their provinces to make way for people within their provinces. So if you look at Limpopo, for example, someone like Stanley Matabata has to leave the province to make way for Danny Msiza to emerge, right? Obviously, the issue around actual positions is a separate conversation. The same what happens to someone like in KwaZulu-Natal. Does Sihle Zikalala go to national ANC, or does Dumisani Mthuli, or both of them? How do they play their cards? That's what, and then you have another level where you have regional leaders of the ANC, and the regional ANC blocks have, especially after the local government election, they are bruised. They have far less resources. They have far less positions in government because of the results of the elections. So there's almost the sense of, we need to sort ourselves out. So we're not actually, so what happens in Etekwini, yes, it may have an effect on the provincial dynamic and the national dynamic, but it really is about Etekwini, you know? Mm. And so that's a little bit different in that way. Now, what you're going to find is you know, five people who all support President Cyril Ramaphosa for second term fighting each other for positions in the top six, or their supporters kind of, you know, or trying to muscle each other to for positions. And you see it, and that's why the amount of names that have been thrown around for the deputy position, as Sidi very correctly said, is very indicative of what the year is going to come. Because this is, and then the other thing that I'm quite interested in, so is the conversation around this generational change. This, remember, every conference has like sort of this tagline, mm-hmm. right? Which is, the last time it was, you know, women, mm-hmm. And at this time it's a sort of generational change. You heard yes. it, you know, City Press wrote around Gwede Mantashe saying, you know, he's too old for the deputy position. But there's already this narrative that people like Ronald Lamola, people like Kentani Kobai, people like, Dumisani Mthuli, that there's this generation that needs to sort of come and take over the ANC regain the confidence of the people, that kind of thing. So you're going to, I suspect that that's going to be the sort of proxy tagline mm. that's going to sort of guide a lot of these intra-dynamics.
All right, let's focus now on the top six positions. Shoba, so President Cyril Ramaphosa, the second term, may be slightly solidified. And also generally and historically in the ANC, most of the presidents, if not all, are actually, you know, finishing their second terms. Who else is contesting the positions? Lindiwe Sisulu, we expect, may come up. Are we really expecting anything from Ace Magashule? Is NDZ going to run again? What are you hearing?
The situation is very fluid, Tanant. And you asked me a year ago if President Ramaphosa will be contested or not, I would probably say that he might not be contested. And there's been so many developments and events since then that may really change the dynamics. You go back to the removal of Zweli Mkhize as health minister. You go to the jailing of President Jacob Zuma. You go to the unrest that took place in KZN and Gauteng, and then there's the election and the election results. So there are so many developments that may influence different structures with different camps about which direction that they are likely to take. But Lindiwe was a pseudo contest. It's difficult to say, because she is relying on a grouping that is unhappy with President Cyril Ramaphosa, and she has put her hope on that grouping deciding to challenge Cyril Ramaphosa. But even that grouping has not decided on who is the right
candidate for that. That grouping, you'll find people who support the suspended Secretary General, Esma Khashule. You will find people who are saying, no, it should be Zweli Mkhize. You will find people who are saying it should be Lindiwe. They define within that grouping. But what we suspect and during the conversation that we are having with different people is that there will be a campaign that will start as if it's a presidential campaign. And that campaign implement at the end of towards the conference, that campaign will then be used as some kind of bargaining tool to be accommodated to a particular state. And you find that the person would be running a campaign as if it's a presidential campaign, only to find that they just want to be deputy president,
yes,
or they want to be the national chairman. And that also played itself out in NASDAQ as well. So you see campaigns taking place at that. We see Lindi where people are embracing her as a possible candidate. You see people embracing Zweli Mkhize. But as the time goes, as these conferences sit and people take decisions, there's going to be caucuses, there's going to be meetings where people are going to say, okay, what do we do? We've got these candidates. How do we accommodate the hope of as TD was saying, how do you then accommodate KwaZulu-Natal? And then people build those states, and then they then decide on who's going to be president or whatever particular state. So now it's a bit early. It's not too early, but it's a bit early to then say whether there's going to be a contest for deputy president, there's going to be a contest for SG, there's going to be a contest for president, because those discussions it's a very early stage.
Yeah, and Siri, just quickly before we go to the headlines, if Lindiwe Sisulu does decide to run, I mean, does she have a constituency in the ANC? Shoba says she's probably relying heavily on this grouping that is not happy with President Cyril Ramaphosa. But I'm trying to remember even her last campaign. Was it It's a Must? Did it even take off?
It's a Must.
did it catch any steam?
It got some slight steam. I mean, she made it to the ballot paper. If you think about it, people had to choose either her or a David Mabuza. She didn't come up. She didn't come up tops. She tried to. She was almost the second to CR on their slate. She is relying really, I think, at this point in time, on this grouping. That's what I'm happy that Shaba keeps referring to. And I don't know if she has anything outside of that grouping. Previously, she had relied on the fact that, you know, she was from exile and that she had she's got a group of camaraderie with former MK combatants. So you found that she spoke about veterans a lot in 2017, if you remember. Spoke about how the veterans had said it was a must, it was a time. And so I don't know if she'll be able to rely on these very veterans, because some of those veterans now are very much at odds with who and what she is in terms of that opinion piece that she released recently, Clem.
Yeah, let's get the latest in Eyewitness News headlines. When we come back, I'll get to Kanita Hunter and get her views on the deputy president, and I'll bring Tsidi Madia, Sibonga Konke Shoba as well, who is the political editor at the Sunday Times.
Your voice,
your questions,
your morning radio with Clement Maniatella.
This is 7:02.
25 minutes before 11 o'clock. Let's continue the discussion around the road to the ANC's 2022 elective conference with Sibonga Konke Shoba, who is the political editor at the Sunday Times, Tsidi Madia, a senior political journalist at EWN, Kanita Hunter is the political editor at News 24. I've got your voice notes and your calls coming through. Let's start with these ones.
Hi, Clement. Who pays for instance, Lindiwe Sisulu, if she decides to run for president? I mean, we as a taxpayer pay her to be a minister of tourism. Now she's running for president or campaigning for it. Who's paying her for that time? Is she doing it in her own personal time, or when does she campaign? Does she do all this campaigning?
Good morning, Clement. On the ANC elective conference, the leader that I could wish for would be a business-minded leader, not like Cyril Ramaphosa. Somebody like Patrice Motsepe, somebody who's going to take care of the business sector of South Africa. Because we've seen now with the favorites and the populists that it's not working. Leader is not factional at all. I could just wish that no one in this top six can retain his position. Machatali Mamba here.
All right, thank you for your voice notes. Another person says, Clement, thanks. I agree with your guests. I'm not into politics, but I will love to hear the ANC leaders eating themselves up like hyenas leading to the conference. And boy, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. I think that's exactly what's going to happen leading up to December. Kanita, I want us to get to the position of deputy president now, probably the most contagious position if Ramaphosa gets a second term. Is it going to be David Mabuza? Is it going to be Ronald Lamola? If really there's this push for a much more younger person who can even succeed President Cyril Ramaphosa. What are we hearing about this position? I mean, I was reading about Enoch Godongwana as well, Thandi Modise being mentioned. Paul Mashatile told me on this show 2 weeks ago that he is seriously thinking about agreeing to contest the position of deputy president.
Yeah, so right now, I mean, it's almost half a dozen people whose names have been thrown in a hat for this position. And again, it's very normal for the ANC to start off with this broad number. So that, and why, so why do they start throwing the names around? Is because then it can catch traction when regional conferences sit, when provincial conferences. So right now, you have, all we have is Didi saying that he would contest, but again, He will hold his cards very close to his chest, and the outcome of what happens in the Mpumalanga Provincial Conference will give us some indication about Didi Mabuza's ambitions. You have Paul Mashatile, who would want to have his name in the hat as well, and his name has been bandied about. You have, in terms of the generational kind of, we need younger people, you have Ronald Lamola, who, you know, his name has been thrown out in the public domain to be debated and considered. You had Thandi Modise, you had Enoch Godongwana, you also had Mamelodi Kubai, whose name has been mentioned as a young woman candidate for not only the position of deputy president but also the SG position. And so those are the names. Did I mention Sixia? About Sixia, obviously. Gwede Mantashe's name was also in that race, in that hat, but he said now, you know, he's too old for that position. But obviously, you never know until you do know. So those are the sort of names that have been put about, and it's very much by the people who would be supportive of a second term for the president. So as things stand, yes, we support the president, but then we're going to, you know, fight it out in terms of who gets the deputy position.
Yeah.
The other issue is nobody wants to be Treasurer General of the ANC given the financial situation. And then the issue of Secretary General is such an important one, and they've learned their lesson in terms of you need to get someone. It's a lot of work. And so I think there is that realization that that whoever we get as Secretary General of the ANC, whichever candidate, it has to be someone who will willingly not be in government, because that's obviously a very big thing, and then to rebuild the organization from this last 5 years of intense decay. And so that's when, you know, you have people like Dumisane Ntuli and so forth in those types of positions. I think there's going to be a massive, as Cyril Ramaphosa's base may have expanded from what it was as the narrow CR17 in 2017, I think there's going to be a lot of intra-faction division around these positions, and the bartering of we as Eastern Cape, will support Cyril Ramaphosa if, for example, someone like Babalo Madikizela becomes the chairperson. I'm saying hypothetically, but we need to have a consideration for ex-leader if we have to, determine your, if we have to guarantee our support for a second term, you need to consider us in this proposal. And you're going to see too many competing demands in that regard. And what you're going to what's going to happen is that there's going to be some sort of internal combustion, if you like. And I think if you are someone who's probably on the outside, their public sites use that to their own advantage.
Yeah. I've got questions. Listeners asking some questions as well. I'll put them to you guys. One person says, my dream ANC top six. Number one, Thandi Modise. Number two, Nwako Ramatlhodi. Three, Paul Mashatile. Four, Phumzile Mlambo-Ngcuka. Five, Dr. Mamokgethi Phakeng. Six, Clement Manyathela. That is funny. Also, you're assuming that I'm a card-carrying member. Sure, but here's what the listener is asking here. It says, hi, please ask your guest, have they forgotten about Duduzani Zuma? Yes, he's silent for now, but he will be contesting too. That's Bongani Nkatlehong. Is he going to be a big player, Shoba?
I don't think Duduzani is going to be a big player. Even people who support his father and who've been on his father's side, and people who might want to see change, I don't think they want to look at, they're even looking at someone like Duduzani. He might have his own ambitions, but even if you look at the ANC constitution, in order for you to be elected into the ANC, you need to have been an active member for about 10 years. And I don't know when he joined the ANC. I don't know when did he become a branch member of that branch in New Orleans East. And Duduzani has only become chairman of a branch for about a few weeks now.
Yes.
And ANC, right-thinking ANC members, even if people were to be called and someone tried to convince them, but right-thinking ANC members, I don't think they would go that direction.
Yeah, okay. CD, someone is asking about Jesse Duarte. Someone says, hey guys, very interesting discussion. What happened to Jesse? We know that she's been sick. What does it say about possibly, you know, her role, her being involved in December? We really wish her the best. And I want you to also weigh in on the women that are emerging. Earlier, Shoba mentioned Mamoluko Kubai. But also there are people like Zengiswa Losi. I mean, she was on Ramaphosa's slate the last time, just didn't get the deputy secretary position. May we see Zengiswa Losi somehow rising up again and being part of the slate?
I want to start with JC quickly. We do know she's unwell, but even if she hadn't taken ill, just to do after a while time, she had said herself that she was retiring. I mean, the amount of times we've spoken about how she'll have tea, she doesn't really know how to go to a discotheque because her entire life has been dedicated to the movement. So she was calling it quits anyway. She was going to go rest up and enjoy the rest of her pension years. So Jesse was not a factor going beyond December. In terms of the women who are emerging, and I think that's part of the travesty. You don't hear enough, I think, female names generally when names are being thrown about. I mean, even the deputy president position, to hear names like Me, and I say Me because I'm speaking about how, you know, she's an elder, respectively. And there are actually quite ferocious, talented young women in the ANC who could lead. You spoke about Mamoloko, you spoke about, excuse me, Zingiswa Losi, and you don't hear enough of those names coming up. Those names might come up a little bit later when people are thinking about the zebra, which is gender equity and all those things along those lines of filling their slates. And that's the unfortunate thing that often you see women come up that late in the game. That's also why Linda Sisulu is interesting, by the way. Linda Sisulu is interesting because whatever playbook she's using, whatever she's doing, it's very rare to see a woman be so defiant, even against leader, and own her own politics in South African politics. So that's actually quite, for me, that's been a little bit I want to find the right word for it in English, but like, I've liked that a little bit, like seeing that, you know, there's a woman there who can throw in a punch. Every now and again, see a woman own her politics. It's interesting, and it's nice to see, because women are able to play the politics the way men are able to play it. And I don't think enough of those women do that. It's like the issue with the women in the ANC, and I'm thinking Kwanita will think back to 2017, is a lot of their politics anchors on the male politics, and I think that's been part of the problem for a really, really long time. I look at women like, even though she's at regional level, Loiso at Johannesburg, I can't remember her last name. Loiso's last name.
That one.
She's married to the doctor.
Oh, yes, yes.
I think that women like that should be coming up a little bit. Mbula Mukonyani's name is not coming up nearly as much as it should. We hear she's got ambitions to end up somewhere in the NGO. We're not hearing enough of
Loiso Masuku, hey?
Yes.
There we go. Okay. So I'm going to take a quick ad break. When we come back, in fact, let me start with these voice notes. And then Kanita, I want you to come back with the role of money in ANC campaigns, the role of money at conference. Are there suggestions around possibly coming up with guidelines as we lead up to December? I want you guys to weigh in on that. But first, let's listen to these voice notes.
Clement, I just want to ask, man, about Mbaks. Figile Mbalula, I see your guest, they're not even mentioning him in one of the positions. I think he can make a good deputy president. Yes. I think he can make a good deputy president. It's Dumela here in Palm Springs.
Okay, Dumela, I'll ask the guests what they think about that.
Hi, Clem. I think it will be dangerous and downright suicidal for the ANC to have an uncontested elective conference, you know. This thing of people assuming that when someone raises their hand and then they want to destabilize the organization is totally wrong. I think the only thing that needs to change here is the ANC need to have an open campaigning season. I mean, if it's an elective conference, what's the point if people can't raise their hands? You know, the danger of having someone into power unchallenged, very catastrophic.
Good morning, Clement. Clement, these ANC crooks with corruption allegations, they want to save their skins at the expense of the country. So it is so very sad that we have people who support them at the expense of the country as well. So it will be foolish to nominate to vote for such people. Thank you.
Hella. 702. 9 minutes before 11 o'clock. Let's continue the discussion. I've got more of your questions that are coming through. Maybe Kanita, let's start with the issue around. Oh, let's start with Figile Mbalula first. There's a listener who's asking, you guys are not mentioning Figile Mbalula, and he thinks Figile would make a good deputy president.
I think that, you know, everyone is holding their breath, waiting for their names to be discussed and for the names to be thrown around. But you do know that obviously, for a leader's name to be, you know, put in the domain and people's, it takes a lot of work, takes a lot of campaigning, and a lot of money, frankly, to have these discussions. There is, not much being said about Figile Mbalula. He gave a kind of an indication that he would support a second term for the president. But again, it's very difficult sometimes to, when leaders of the ANC launch campaigns and then they lose in these campaigns to try again, because it's almost, you get the sense where people say, we don't want to back a losing horse. I'm not going to mention Matthew Sposa's name. But the interesting thing is that it is early, and there's going to be a lot of configurations. There's going to be a lot of, different sort of dynamics, and they're going to people are going to, hope and pray for their names to be considered in different positions. There's also an NEC that needs to be populated, NEC list that needs to be populated. So people obviously try to be relevant this year, so that when it comes to the NEC voting at the conference, their names are considered. Because sometimes what happens is, you launch an audacious campaign for a top six position, and then you lose so spectacularly you're not even considered for the NEC. And that generally, that does happen in the AEC. So there's a lot of cautiousness, behind the scenes horse trading about, I will support this endeavor if you support that endeavor. And I think that will continue all year.
Yeah. Shoba, the role of money, funding of campaigns, I think the CR17 campaign has exposed what's really has been the tradition in the ANC on how these campaigns are funded and how much money is often needed for the resources during campaigning. Are we likely to see some sort of guidelines on how to manage these campaigns, given that contentious issue?
One of your listeners, Clement, made a very important point that the ANC needs to open this campaign. Because the ANC right now
operates like it's still in exile, and it frowns on leaders who openly express their ambition. And I like the proposals that is coming up from within the ANC for it to introduce some kind of reform. We must know what a candidate stands for before they are elected, because it's not about ANC structures. It's not about what this person is going to do for the people who elected him at the convention. It's not about him now having to secure some kind of employment, some kind of deployment, some kind of contract. No, it's about us. It's about the people. Because the people that the ANC going to elect, given its majority support in this country, are the people who are likely to be in government. So the ANC must be able to create that platform so that it also deals with the issues of money. It must be a process that is managed by the party itself, giving all these candidates a platform to actually say, this is what I stand for and this is what I'm going to. Even the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, is supposed to be given a platform to say, what did he do in the past 5 years? Did he deliver on what he promised us? The renewal that he promised us, is it happening? Is the cleanup in government happening? Are people who stole money, stole taxpayers' money, have they been arrested? Are they going to be arrested? When are they going to be arrested? Because we must hold them accountable. We must hold these leaders accountable as citizens. So the ANC needs to open the whole campaigns and the internal elections up so that it's modernized, it's in line with the times. Because if it doesn't do that, then 2022-24, it's going to have a difficult time, and it must be relegated to the opposition benches, because these processes are going to, the election outcomes are going to be influenced by ANC dynamics and ANC interests rather than it appealing to the people and electing people who stand for the principles that it was formed for and people who have an interest in serving us as citizens.
Yeah. So, Sidi, basically the future of this country is being determined by about just over 4,000 delegates at some venue in Nazareth. It's quite a tricky one. I get where you're coming from, Shoba. What's going to be the impact, Sidi, of the Zondo Commission findings on the various factions and the possible contenders? Because some may think I'm raising my hand, but they may be implicated, and that may count against them.
Before I even get into the Zondo Commission, Clement, let me very quickly say that step aside resolution that the ANC came out of 2017 with, I think is one of the things that is probably in danger of finding itself in the bin come 2022 and when that conference wraps. I've spoken to several leaders who have been impacted, affected by saying that that thing was slacking, we're worried about economic transformation. So there's a lot of worry about what that particular resolution meant for many politicians. And what that tells you, and I want you to think about that and to think about how the Integrity Commission came about and to think about what the role of the Disciplinary Committee in the ANC used to be, that all these particular interventions were used to deal with opponents at some point or another, and one was brought as a solution towards dealing with one that had become factionalized. And what that tells us, the ANC continues to have an inability to deal with the wrong amongst themselves. They tend to want to still rehabilitate the elite. And so I think even with the Zondo Commission, there's a task team, one that's led by Jeff Khatia, because when you think about how this particular individual, this particular leader, and what his role was during the Zuma years in terms of enabling certain things, you wonder if that was the right appointment, if you are serious, if you do take the commission report seriously. So a lot of the things for me that are meant to be remedies of wrongdoings are ways to rehabilitate the elite, to allow them to come back by the back door at a later stage, it doesn't get rid of the corrupt amongst themselves. They just rehabilitate them, find a different way for them to exist in the organization. And that's part and parcel of the ANC's problem. That's part of the reason why ANC's here.
Yeah.
You ask, is it fair there are 4,000 or so delegates determining the future? And I think that's the question that Africans must be asking themselves, not the ANC. The South Africans must be watching this. These are listed. Society is watching what the ANC does yesterday. And I think society must watch for 2024 and the future of this country in mind to make a determination about whether or not this party is actually serious about anything that they're doing, about the resolutions they reach, about the plans they have for the country, and about fixing themselves as a governing party. And then they must make a determination whether they deserve
that will to remain a governing party going forward.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much for making time. We're out of time, but I think we understand much better what we can expect ahead of December. Thank you. I appreciate your time and your brilliant analysis. Sibonga Konke Shoba, political editor at the Sunday Times. Siri Madia, our colleague here at EWN. Kanita Hunter, political editor at News 24.